Welcome to Podcast episode 5, take 7, Alex.
We have no time for pleasantries.
So we only had that 1 minute recording last week. We'll call that 4.5. And what a memorable piece that was.
I actually came across your blog post there with that really obscure out of ratio photograph of me at an unknown location.
I was wondering if you'd read that and see that. I am delighted you have.
Yes, well, I mean, you just go away. So you want to talk about our trip?
By all means, let's go. You arrived in the UK first anyway.
I did. When did I get there?
Flew Monday night and Tuesday Monday morning. Left on Monday night,
arrived Tuesday morning in Heath. So I would have left the night before. The flight was at like 11. Arrived at like 9 a.m. Got in a cab to the location where all our loot's being held, and then basically spent the next 3 hours in a car down there. Then I spent probably 3 to 4 hours going through the loot, you know, checking stuff over, seeing what needs to be reordered because people are useless, and then I guess I crashed. Hardcore. Then got in a car, then went to the train station, came up to Birmingham, where I met you at probably it was about 1 o'clock, I think.
It would have been about that. I'd love to say we met at that Pret a Manger place, but that was a bit of a misleading direction, to say the least.
I love your poor French attempt. It's Pret a Manger.
Oh, Pret a Manger. Yeah. Mais désolé, monsieur. So for people who don't know, that if you've seen the video on the group page where I'm just aimlessly wandering that particular place, I was informed that that's where I would find Alex. But as you could tell, he was waiting on the first floor of the centre to just capture his moment, and he got his moment.
Technically, I was, you know, close by. Kind of.
Very well. Point is... We found.
But on the topic of French, you know, one of the first phrases in French, because many people probably, and it's completely off topic, but I don't care. one of the first French phrases that Nat taught me, because Nat's Canadian French. One of the first was "Ferme ta bouche, tu vas attraper de mouche," which means, I'm not sure at the exact translation, but it's basically don't leave your mouth open because you're going to catch flies. It's basically like a way to just like, I guess that must be like to tell someone who's gormless to shut their mouth.
I wonder why she taught you that phrase then.
Yeah. Thanks, Alan.
You're very welcome.
Like completely off topic. So yeah, we went to Birmingham. We looked around the BCEC. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I guess we went to the Electric first.
We did. That was around, we had a meeting at 2:30, and we met one of the main people you were corresponding with the whole time. Had us talk about what we're going to do in the day, and we got to see the screens again. I have to say, look,
because we met with Sam first.
Yes.
No, we met with David first. David is the guy we met the first time we visited. And then when we went back again, it was Sam.
Okay, that way. Gotcha.
It was kind of refreshing to go in, because, you know, you think, oh, it's a small cinema. And then you go in again and you're like, oh, actually, it's quite big.
Mm, and they were playing something at the time. So it's good for us to get an idea of how the quality and the acoustics were. And it's pretty solid, I have to say.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I didn't pay attention, but I'm just going to take your word for it.
Take my word. Good thing I was paying attention at the meeting, anyhow.
Yes. Well, anyway, so from there we went to the BCC, which is across the street. We looked around there for probably, I'd say we were probably there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I know we had some food before, but it was nice to revisit and, you know, kind of, now that we had a really good idea of what we were using each space for, it was really easy to picture it, in my mind anyway.
I agree.
We had a wander around, worked out kind of how we're going to manage traffic. As you know, we're going to be pushing traffic up one staircase and traffic down another, and, you know, generally doing stuff to make everyone's experience smoother. We took a look at the ballroom again, looked at the cool LED lighting, made sure that we had everything we needed up there, and then we were pretty much straight on the train to Scotland then.
Yeah, essentially that was straight afterwards, and that was during the World Cup, and England was playing that evening, so we're getting a couple of frequent updates on the train at that moment, and then...
Yeah, I remember when we pulled out of one station and they were actually announcing the score on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, oh, for people who are just getting on this train, the current score is 1-0 to England. Obviously, the further we got into the trip, the worse it got. It's cool. So, yeah, we were on the train until about 11:30, I think it was. Then we got into Glasgow, and naturally, Glasgow was a tad rowdy because it was 11:30 after a World Cup game. So into a heavily armored taxi we climbed and off to a hotel. Unfortunately, we couldn't stay at the Hilton. It was fully booked that night. Mm-hmm. So then the next morning we met up with our man Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Had breakfast, which I salute the breakfast. It was good.
Very good. Definitely my seal of approval there.
Yes, vegetarian, I know, sausages. Your little veggie eyes were lighting up left, right, and center. I
couldn't believe it.
So, yeah. And then we had a good look around that venue, and I was quite pleasantly surprised.
It is very big, I have to say. And the layout, that foyer outside the main theater is beautifully spaced.
Yeah, I really like all the wood in there. Like, it's kind of, it's got like an old feel to it, you know what I mean? But it's nice, it's grand.
And yet when you step outside that and you go, let's say, you know, the other areas where the smaller rooms are, that it seems even more modern. There's an interesting kind of counterbalance in certain ways, but the whole thing just looks aesthetically pleasing nonetheless. And the downstairs
is, yeah, super modern.
Oh wow, it's like those, even the seats you can just have a chill out and they looked, you know, that silky velour kind of as material. It was really beautiful anyway, so you get a bit of mix
of
everything.
It just screams money. You know, it's a good venue for what we need it for. Obviously, we hope that ticket sales continue in the direction that they are. So it was a strong opening and it continues to be strong, so let's see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really much more we can say on that front.
Yeah,
I don't want to really give too much away. All I can say is that currently at the Hilton, we have the ballroom, the foyer, and then three additional rooms. And if ticket sales are there, there'll be another three additional rooms on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a bit of space.
Yep, yep.
I'd like to do like a comparison map when the time comes, showing the difference between the venues and whatnot, especially like in one continent, a base, you know, so people can see the increase in venue sizes we've gone along.
Yeah, sure, that you can chart that up quite easily. Hilton versus Hilton as well.
Yeah. Oh well, the Hilton Toronto is gigantic. but when you think about it, probably if you added it all up, it probably comes similar.
Probably about that. I mean, the certain rooms are quite large as well. So I mean, it's hard to gauge it now.
The Hilton Toronto is probably still the biggest. Unless you bring into another piece of conversation, which I'm not really going to go there, but we did have another meeting after that. We had to get on a train to London, and we did have a meeting in London. What to say? Well, you know, I think you'd have to be really pretty stupid not to realize that Project X is London.
At this point, we kind of give it a hint.
Yeah, I think we can confirm that one. Project X is London. We are in the early stages of piecing together the event, and I am quietly confident we have a venue.
Mm-hmm.
Which if it is what we think, like if we do proceed with this, it is very big.
Yeah, certainly.
It would make the Royal National Hotel look like a one-bedroom flat. It is very, very big. I'd say that the foyer is bigger than the National Hotel ballroom. I'd say that's a fair statement.
That's, yeah, it actually is quite a good comparison. It's that it is beautiful when you walked in and just feel to see it all.
What was interesting is that the foyer was actually bigger than the, like, the foyer and the ballroom of where we're talking about pretty much are the same size. Like anyway, I've said too much, but we're working behind the scenes, but this stuff's a long way off. So, you know, if you're thinking you're going to skip out on Glasgow, well, you might want to think again, because we're a long, long way off this project yet.
Mm-hmm.
And go on.
And obviously, with these gaps we have between events and the different generations start to grow from then. For example, people think, you know, Parmesan de Ripalm, not much of a difference between them, but they're going to be two totally different events. And the same thing's going to happen in London as well. Every time we come back to the UK, it's not just a case of repeat. It's always going to be different.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not, you know, it's not, it's yeah, it's not reruns. It's not watching TV at 4 a.m., you know. So there's a lot of new stuff to come, a brand new generation, too much to even begin to cover.
Yeah,
in the latest episode of Pom Coopercast, I mentioned that we have a date, released date for tickets for the bigger Pom, which is October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I've began talks with Wave to prepare the portal art for that one.
It must be great for people who went to the first event coming back to this one now and thinking the amount of tri-pom cards you have to collect now to get it all now.
Hell of a jump.
Yeah.
Hell of a jump. So that I mean, that's exciting for anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you're not, what's great about the tri-pom cards is that you collect them, and some people, a lot of people come to the event and go, I'm not interested in collecting tri-pom. Well, I'll give them 10 minutes. And it, again, hashtag Coupo crack. They're locked, you know? Actually, we brought that phrase up because we met with Dan Seto, didn't we, in London?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him about Coupo crack. And he's like, what's Coupo crack?
Yeah.
So, quite the character, Dan. I quite like him.
Oh, same as well. I'm really fond of him. It was a good night, though. We had a good... good crew that night.
It was really the only break that we had, because it was pretty much non-stop.
It was, and I kind of knew the way the night was going, that I think our original plan was, you know, we might stay for a little while, head around 9 o'clock, so we can have a good night's sleep, so we can catch our early morning flights. And
so much for that.
Here's some behind the scenes stuff. When we got to our hotel near the airport, you know, we got there probably being just after midnight, and we probably went to bed around 2 a.m.
So. Yeah, because, well, if you want the real behind-the-scenes info, is it Hillsborough and Islington? Is that right?
Oh, is this for the...
Where were we when we went for a drink?
Wetherspoons, wasn't it? In
yeah, I know that, but yeah, it was. Wasn't it Hillsborough and Islington?
Because I know there's a long name with two different titles there, so I think that would
be Islington. I'm just going to check that because I feel like we're wrong. It was something in Islington, London. Yeah, we were somewhere in that region. Anyway, we were at a Wetherspoons,
yeah.
Nice and posh. And maybe it's Holloway in Islington. I don't know, were somewhere in London. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
We were at a Wetherspoons. It was all bopping along. And yeah, I think when we left Wetherspoons, it was about 11:30. It was probably 11:30.
It's about that.
So we left there and we got on the train and we were heading for Heathrow. And we were about four stops in of about 25.
Yeah.
And every stop some drunk would get on. And I turned to Alan and said, look, I know that, you know, we've got time. Really, but should we just split a cab? And you're like, yeah. So we got off at Knightsbridge, came up to the surface, and we both kind of looked at each other and was like, yeah, where the hell are we? Like, I you know, by day it's a lot easier to identify where the hell you are. I couldn't identify where I was from the exit that we exited. So I was like, right, we got a hail a cab. Got a cab, didn't take very long, actually, maybe within 3 minutes. got the cab, got to the airport after missing the exit for the hotel three times.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got into the hotel, checked in. Was an odd check-in for sure. It was like no check-in desk, but whatever, too modern. Got in, we had a drink at the bar. Then this German guy spilt his entire drink over his crotch and tried to get the barmaid to wipe it off his crotch. And at that point, I thought maybe it was time to start turning in. So we stayed up till, it was probably about 2 a.m.
Yeah, about that.
So it was a bit of a mental night. It wasn't like we weren't. I was fine. You were just caffeinated to the peak of existence.
Went to bed with these jitters in my chest like the whole night, and I had about less than 2 hours sleep. And then when I got in the morning, remember the night beforehand we were told which shuttle bus brings you to Terminal 2. Well, he told us a particular one went to Terminal 2. Unfortunately, that was not correct. It brought me to Terminal 5. So I had to hop
that's way away from the other ones.
Yeah, so I was recommended to hop on a Heathrow Express because it was a free transfer. So they were doing a security check on that beforehand. So it was quite a while. So for all the time I thought I had to spare, actually I got through the gate and went straight over to my flight. So I kind of... I wouldn't say I just about made it, but I wouldn't have had more than 10 minutes to spare at that point compared to the hour I'm supposed to.
I got up at 8 o'clock and I was checked in by 10 past 9. I just got in a cab, 10 quid, job done.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was it. Then I was on a flight home, 6 hours flight, then 3 hour drive, and then I just crash and burn.
That is hard. No, I say.
And honestly, it was been. I don't know what it's been like for you, but since I walked in the door, it's been nonstop.
It's not been easy because between the late night to Thursday and the lack of sleep and everything, and I didn't have work that Friday, but I couldn't go home to sleep because the JCB. Like there's a lot of work's going on in my house at the moment to help me there, make an extension out the back. So
they need more space. Alan needs more space to store all his tripom loot. So
thousand cards in anarchy.
We're building a massive extension.
But so I couldn't sleep that day, and then I'd work at 4 a.m. the next day. So I got about. And because I hadn't been sleeping much the nights beforehand, probably about 8 hours sleep over three nights or something, or near around that. So I was really, really, really bad on Sunday. And then after Monday, got a good sleep and racked into a bit of CooperCon work Tuesday. I was there, organised a lot of the volunteer stuff for starters, that kind of thing. So it's I'm not so bad now, but I know every so often things, it never seems to rain, but it pours down our end. So I know we've had a lot on our plates this week.
Yeah, so I apologize for a little bit of a hiatus in our scheduling, but it was necessary for us to get back on track. Mm-hmm. Not that we weren't on track, but, you know, we decided to make this trip before Pomathon. We had considered doing it afterwards, and it just, everything kind of seemed to fit, so we did it. The clock's really ticking now, 7 weeks out. We're waiting on a few tiny little details to confirm in before a few other things are kind of finalized, but we're pretty much good to go. Final schedule is probably about 2 weeks away.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be too long by now because it's the way
Mo's locking in on his novella now. That's pretty much there. Loot's practically all in. Yeah, the end is near. The end is nigh.
And then just a couple of others to do after that. But, you know, we still got to think about those in the meantime, too. It just never... perhaps that says it all.
Shut up. It's actually kind of scary when you think that Toronto is, 2 months after. And then right after that...
Between Christmas, more or less, as well.
I'm going to be kicking right in. I mean, there's already Gen 3 stuff happening behind the scenes anyway, but I'm going to be working very hard on the Gen 3 quest log and whatnot starting next week.
I see.
I'm not waiting. It's time to, you would have seen new Tripom cards appearing. Lots of things are going on, and we'll continue to ramp up. Judy's going to be overwhelmed very soon.
Tell Judy you're bringing the artist edition cards as well, but don't let on that it's not going to involve that kind of thing. Test the commitment.
That'll be easy on her.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring over some of the extra seasonal cards left over from the other events like Winter Mog, Ecstatic Mog, and what's the other one?
Fedig Mug, Valentine Mug.
Valentine Mug, yeah. And then obviously the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween. Is it Halloween Mug?
Scaredy Mug.
So we'll have some extras of those on standby at the merch desk as well for those who may have missed out. They won't be reprinted in the future. And if they do, they'll be reprinted with a nasty word saying reprint on. So, you know, grab them while you can. So, yeah. That's pretty much all I've got on my end. I just thought we'd take this opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about the trip. And I guess as we approach in on our next recording, we'll have a lot of new info. There's a lot going on at the moment.
Mm, true that. I mean, it'll be probably around the start of August or so before, by the time my next recording comes out. And that's about a month away from Palmathon as well. So it's all the same steam ahead. It's full steam ahead.
We're recording every 2 weeks now, right?
Yes.
Right, cool. So everything's moving. You know, it's the event is closing in, and like before, we're quite ahead. Pretty much everything is done.
Mm-hmm.
The things to do are very minor, and some of them are time. There's other things we're waiting on. Like one of the things that I'll be dealing with soon is a lot of the voice recordings, like the voiceovers. But there's a few details we're waiting on before we go ahead and deal with that. And as you know, I'm currently speaking and negotiating with guests for Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a message from someone who wants to come to Glasgow. Did I tell you about that?
I have a feeling. I know we were talking about their guest who we have in mind for Glasgow. So I haven't shared about the message, though.
You know, while we got a few minutes on the clock here, one of the questions that we get asked a lot, not asked a lot, I've seen it a few times, and it can be rather infuriating, is you'll get comments that will say, you need to have more female guests. You know, I'm in one of those argumentative moods today, so I was like, yeah, let's end with something gritty.
By all means.
in short, it's not because myself and Alan love men. That's a comic. that could open a can of worms, couldn't it? Okay, let me rephrase that.
So that might apply to some, but we won't. We'll leave you guessing.
let's backtrack.
Keep that in. Do not edit that out.
Yeah, it's not. You don't want me to edit that out.
Keep that.
So okay. It's not that we just favor having male voice actors. It's because I don't know if anyone have come to realize that there's practically zero female characters in 15. There are very few anyway. And those that we have contacted, unfortunately, either down to scheduling or other reasons, we have not been able to secure.
Mm-hmm.
We are very lucky to have Amy Shields for Toronto. We did have Susan Calloway as a guest previously. But it's just unfortunate that an opportunity hasn't been there. And when there are more guys than girls in the casting, naturally it ends up being that you get more male voiceovers. Mm-hmm. But we're certainly aware of that. And we do try and, you know, level it out as best we can.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's no denying that 15 is a very male-orientated game.
And the reason we even speak about
statement.
Yeah, and the reason we even speak about 15 is because it is the most recent game. It's the most relevant in a lot of people's minds.
Now
you know?
Bring me to another gritty point.
Mm.
People will say, well, I hope you bring guests from other games, and which is a completely fair and relevant point. However, the core audience right now are interested in 15. And while we are in contact with many other guests from other games who we are hoping to bring to KubaCon in the near and far future, I don't have any interest in bringing Final Fantasy VII Remake voice actors to an event for one particular reason. They will be able to tell us nothing. It will be an entire, like, we'll see messages saying, well, I hope you can get such and such who's the guy who voices Cloud?
Steve Burton, I believe.
Right. He actually even said on Twitter he'd love to come to KubaCon.
Hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he did the voice for Cloud for Dissidia. He did it for Advent Children.
Even Kingdom Hearts, in fact. I do know Kingdom he's in it too. So he's done it all the way through.
So he's done a lot of it. But obviously, all the questions we're going to have for him are going to be about the remake. And I can assure you, hands down, that he will be able to tell us nothing. The NDAs will stop him from telling us anything. So trust me, when Final Fantasy VII drops in 2032, I will be on it. That was a joke. I will be on it faster than you can imagine. But until that time, it is very pointless to bring in remake guests because it will be no comment. Can't tell you about that. Mm. But it was fun. It was a good recording, but can't tell you anything. So that's the main reason for it. I guess, you know, with Steve, it's a little different. He has done previous stuff, so we can talk about that. But and that's not to say he won't be a guest in the near or far future. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kind of generalizing why we're not focusing on the remake, because really, we have such very little information, and the NDAs that these folks would have signed will be some serious documentation.
No, right? Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, there's two points that I've picked up on over the last couple months and weeks, months, whatever. And that's my take on it.
And there's probably one other element you can kind of include in that, and they, you know, I don't want to make it as fair as I can, but you know how there is a sense where if you imagine trying to get somebody like Tara Strong, who voiced Riku and possibly even Lulu in Final Fantasy X. I know she definitely did one of them and then voiced multiple. You know, right. Some people are very established, and it's very hard to get people like that because they have so many things going on. And
absolutely. It's the same story with the guy who did Arden's voice.
Exactly.
What's his name?
Darren
DePaul. I've spoke with his office several times. It's not that he doesn't want to. It's the guy's schedule, and his wife is in the business. It's just very, very difficult, mm-hmm. you know? And unfortunately, we can't go, hey, when's your availability, you know? But the number of guests that we're in touch with is phenomenal. Like I was just saying to you before this phone call came in, that I had someone reach out to us with like six different people.
Yes.
It is a non-stop shop. So, yeah. We should definitely make a documentary sometime behind the scenes.
I would love that. That would be fantastic.
Me on the phone. What do you mean you want 10 grand, Ray? Screw you. No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. It's 15. No, I'm joking. It is very complicated. There's a lot to factor in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to factor in.
No, before we wrap this episode up, because we've been going on for a bit now, I'm just going to put you in the spot real briefly. It's nothing serious, though, so don't worry. But something's just come to mind. We recorded CooperCast a few days ago. Now, in that, you said you had something you were going to say for Palmcast. I think it was after the mention of Patreon, and you said for the $20 people who are getting their boosters, you said you hope they get what they're looking for. And then you said, I think it was, I actually went. And then you said, no, I'll save that for Palmcast. Any idea what you were going to say?
I think I was just going to talk about the time when we went out for drinks and whatnot. Because I gave... I don't think I was just... It was just general talk. I think I was just being me. I think... I know that I gave Mo, Liam, and Dan a copy of the foil cards. But I don't think I think I was just generally going to talk about the evening out, really, more than anything.
Gotcha. No problem.
Sorry to burn you out. It's a major plot twist.
Oh, indeed. Some people
what a disappointing end. What a crap ending to a crap episode.
I believe the words before this episode were, I think this will be a good episode.
Yeah. It was not, well, whatever. Just so much going on like right now, I'm finding it hard to focus on anything, you know?
Of course.
So, yes, thank you once again to our patrons. I will say this. There are some of you who are about to hit a milestone in a financial sense on Patreon. You will be receiving something from me directly. Keep your eye out for it. That I'm not saying anymore. So we appreciate everyone who follows us on Patreon. We try and keep the content fresh. We try and keep it interesting. We've got a lot of new stuff to share with you in the many months and moons to come. So let's keep it going.
And that was a good ending now. Perfect.
Was that it? Was that the end? Were you cutting me there?
No, I just said it was perfect at that moment.
It just kind of went silent for a bit, and I didn't know if like that was it.
Are you still recording?
I could cut it there. I am recording.
Yeah, me too as well. But this is the outtakes now.
How about we just like awkwardly press stop now, and then I'll just slowly fade out.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye.